Let's take a break from the news of the day for a few minutes. Barry Sonnenfeld has a new memoir out this week. He's best known as the director of the Men in Black films, as well as 1991's The Addams Family, starring Angelica Houston and Raul Julia, who played the morbidly romantic couple Morticia and Gomez.
Look at her. I would die for her. I would kill for her. Either way, what bliss?
Barry Sonnenfeld's memoir is very funny, but it also touches on some painful issues, like how he was molested by a relative. The book is called Barry Sonnenfeld, Call Your Mother. Barry, welcome.
Well, thank you, Jeremy.
And let's start with that title. You call it that because that actually happened to you at a concert at Madison Square Garden. Explain.
Yes. I was 17 years old. I was at the first Peace concert. Jimi Hendrix is warming up for the second time because he had stormed off earlier in the night. So he was in a bad place. And as he finally was ready to start his gig, over the PA system came the following announcement: Barry Sonnenfeld, call your mother. So, of course, I stand up immediately. I'm weeping because I assume my father has died and I'm going to have to live with my mother the rest of my life. And since I am standing, everyone knows I am Barry Sonnenfeld. So it starts in the cheap blue seats, the famous garden chant of Barry, Barry. It was horrible. So I called my mother, and of course, she somehow managed to get someone to answer the phone at the garden, convince them that this was an emergency. And the reason was I said I'd be home at 2, and it was 2:20. A.M.
Now, you also write that your mom did a lot of things that people would find a little strange. She would spit on a cloth and wipe your face with it, order you food even though it wasn't what you wanted. And when the two of you got in an argument, she would threaten to commit suicide.
Well, it wasn't so much argue. Yes, I became a senior in high school and prepared to go to college. She called it sleepaway school. And said that if I went away to college, she would commit suicide. So I spent 3 years living at home. Yeah. And then when I was going to be a senior, I realized, wait, I can go away to another college and my mother commit suicide. Two birds, one stone. But she totally reneged on the offer. But I did spend my senior year at Hampshire College.
Uh-huh. On a more serious note, though, there's a man in this book that you call Cousin Mike the Child Molester.
CM the CM.
CM the CM. A man who your parents had living in your apartment when you were a kid, even though you say they knew that he was molesting you.
Absolutely. And eventually, I confronted my father when he was in his 90s. I went up to the Upper West Side and sat with him and I said, why did you let CM the CM live with us? And my father had three really interesting reasons. One, he said, don't forget, child molestation didn't have the same stigma back then that it has now. Two, remember, your mother was very sad because of all the affairs I was having. So I thought she'd be happy having Mike around because he would drive her, you know, to the Paramus Park Mall and stuff. And the third reason, ultimately, was where my brain went tilt and I had to leave, which was when he said, besides, I never thought Mike was molesting you. I only thought he was playing with your penis. Hmm. So that's when you go tilt and you say, well, thanks, Dad. See ya.
Well, and the thing is that reading this book, you know, I sort of had a smile on my face the whole time. You're laughing, except for the parts that were about that. That's serious.
It is serious, but and I don't want to make light of this or of my parents' decision to let this happen, but I will say I'm here with you now talking about a book, and I've had a successful life with a great wife and children. So, you know, I can't get too morose about it.
You say in this book that by all accounts, you're one of the most neurotic people on the planet.
I'm very proud of that. In fact, both Larry David and I both worked with Cheryl Hines, who's a great actress, and we each wanted Cheryl to tell us that we were the most neurotic. And Cheryl didn't want to tell us because she knew whoever wasn't the most neurotic would be insulted. And she was on the Dave Letterman show one night, and she announced that I was the most neurotic person she had ever met.
So
years later, I was at a power breakfast place in Manhattan. And from across the room, I hear Larry David's voice screaming, Sonnenfeld, you claim you're more neurotic than me, but you're eating eggs with yolks, you're putting butter on your bread, and you're eating bacon. And I yelled out, extra crispy. So I won that one.
How does being neurotic feed into the successful film career that you have had?
I feel that it has given me a quirky attitude towards life and towards movies. You know, the movies I tend to do, Adam's Family, the Men in Black movies, are all about lighthearted, dark issues. Mm-hmm. And so that's been my sort of viewpoint on life. You know, things are dark, but let's sort of have fun.
It was almost accidental the way you got into the film business.
Yeah, I went to NYU Graduate Film School literally only because it kept me out of the job market for three additional years. I had no interest in film. I wanted to be a still photographer but didn't want to be alone so much. And so at film school, I realized I kind of was good at cinematography. And when I got out of school, I felt that if I owned a camera, I could call myself a cameraman without being a dilettante. And one night I was at a party where everyone was from Darien, Connecticut, except one other Jewish guy across the room. We started to talk. It was Joel Cohen
of the Cohen Brothers. Right.
Joel and Ethan had just written the script for their first movie, Blood Simple, and were going to shoot a trailer and use that trailer to raise the $750,000 to make the movie. So I said, I own a camera, and he said, you're hired. Mm-hmm. So we shot the trailer. We got along really well. I helped them raise the money. It took a year. And the first day on the set of Blood Simple was the first day that Joel, Ethan, or I had ever been on a movie set.
You became a director on the first Addams Family movie.
Yes.
How did that happen?
Well, you know, I was in L.A., and my wife and I were in bed watching the Indianapolis 500, of all things. And the front desk called up and said, Scott Rudin, who's a famous movie producer, has left a script for you. He wants you to meet him in 2 hours at Hugo's, which is a local L.A. Mm-hmm. hangout. So I read the script. And of all the scripts to be sent to me, it was kind of the perfect one because Charles Addams, A, is a very dark visual cartoonist. B, I grew up with his cartoons and I loved them. I didn't like the script. I went to Scott. I went to Hugo's and said, why me? And he told me that he had gone to Tim Burton and Terry Gilliam. They had both passed. And he said, since all the good directors passed, I thought I'd offer it to you.
I want to go back to your personal life because you make clear in this book the love and devotion you have in your wife, Susan, who you call sweetie.
That's right.
Do you think that that difficult relationship with your mother affected your ability to have a healthy love life and a long relationship with your wife?
Well, I have to say, Jeremy, that's an incredibly good question because sweetie was very nervous to marry me. And the reason was because she thought I had no good role models. And she was concerned that I would have no idea how to be a good, loving husband. But I proved her wrong. And she's still sweetie. And we've been married for 31 years and very, very happy.
And your parents?
Thank God they're dead.
No, I'm sorry. I mean, you two are parents.
Oops. Did I say that out loud? Sorry. Yes. And the challenge of being a parent is not to be like what your parents were, yet you become what your parents were. You know, I became my mother and my father. I'm like my father, who was a salesman, and, you know, I'm always telling people what to do. And I have my mother's fears and worries. You know, when my daughter flies, I'll stay up all night looking at FlightAware and go, wow, why did her plane just go from 34,000 feet to 33,900? What's going on?
Well, you were in a plane crash, we should say. You were in a plane crash in your life.
Yes, I was. And, you know, the story sounds so unbelievable that I actually, at the end of the chapter, publish the NTSB's transcript of the black box where you hear the co-pilot say things like, "Yeehaw," and "I don't think we're going to make it."
God. What is your biggest piece of advice if there is another young Barry Sonnenfeld to be out there?
That's easy. You know, at the end of the book, I mentioned that Will Smith wanted to take me to underprivileged schools in Philly, where he grew up, and say, if this guy can direct big budget movies with movie stars, anyone can. And I think that would be my piece of advice, which is that if I can do it, anyone can. And figure out what you want to do in life that will give you joy, and you will somehow find a way to make a living doing it.
That is Barry Sonnenfeld, whose memoir is called Barry Sonnenfeld, Call Your Mother. Thank you so much for joining us.
A pleasure.